friends and listeners, we're Healthscape, a podcast exploring the healthcare ecosystem through intimate conversations with healthcare's biggest leaders. This podcast is brought to you by the Healthcare Club and supported by the Healthcare at Kellogg program at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management.
Welcome to the Healthscape podcast. Our guest today is Jennifer Meyer. Jennifer is the Chief Development Officer at Dispatch Health. Dispatch Health is a rapidly growing healthcare provider that delivers acute care to patients in their home. Prior to Dispatch Health, Jennifer was a vice president with DaVita and a junior partner at McKinsey & Company in their healthcare systems and services practice. Jennifer is a Kellogg alum and received her Bachelor of Science in Finance and Marketing from the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. Jennifer, welcome to the show today. First off, could you tell us more about Dispatch Health? What does the company do and what makes it different from other healthcare providers?
Absolutely. Thanks, Connor. At the highest level, Dispatch Health provides a system of care into the home. In all of our markets, we provide high acuity care to the home, which is essentially packaging up about 60 to 70% of the ER capabilities and bringing them safely and in an on-demand way to the home. We call this our ER diversion program. In addition, we've always had the vision of expanding our high acuity care into the home and bringing even higher levels of care right there in that home setting. And now we also provide hospital level care and skilled nursing level care right there in the home. By December of this year, we're going to have a total of 8 markets in 6 states where we're providing this hospital level care and skilled nursing level care in the home. In the next year, we're also spending time thinking about enabling a system of care in the home, and we're going to continue to work closely with all of our partners, which are primary care partners, health systems, payers, and continue to drive the best-in-class clinical outcomes and also be more accountable for patient outcomes over longer periods of time.
I'm curious, traditionally, we think of house calls as the way that doctors used to treat patients, but not something that's done anymore. On the flip side, Dispatch Health is rapidly growing. So why did house calls become uncommon? And what's making now the right time to bring them back?
Oh, I love this question, Connor. I think everyone enjoyed having a physician come to their home. And we quite frankly see this through the memories of our patients. It's not uncommon for our patients who are in their later years, so 80s, 90s, where our oldest patient has been 108, to reference that family physician coming to their home. But I think what we saw really happen in healthcare is that we saw all kinds of wonderful technical advances that really happened over the last 40 to 50 years. Many of those technology elements that came in just weren't mobile. They were a little bit on the bigger side. They were heavy. What we also saw come in is just a lot of costs that came in with those advancements that occurred within medicine. So it just made it hard to enable going to someone's home. Now, as you fast forward 40, 50 years, essentially two things have happened. A lot of that technology has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. We have an EKG machine the size of an iPad that now comes in the cars. It gives us hospital-grade EKG reads right there at the bedside. We also have a moderately complex lab that we carry in all of our cars to enable all of our clinicians so they can do a ton of testing right there in the bedside. The other piece that's really kind of different for us is that we've spent a lot of time really investing in the logistics and routing capabilities that our clinicians utilize to get to the right patients. We have it kind of come out really in two different ways. First, as patients are coming in, we have the ability to risk stratify those patients, and then we can clinically optimize the cars and vehicles so that we're getting to those patients that need us most quickly in a market, and then also just being appropriate with those that might have a little bit more of a condition that can wait some time. So we have that real-time clinical optimization that is happening. When those cases come in, they're then being assigned to those different cars. And then ultimately, what kind of rounds this all out as you think about logistics and the routing capabilities is being able to give transparency to the patients when they're in that moment of need of when are you going to get there. So I think those are the two factors, really those technology advances, and then also the ability to do logistics, routing, and queuing theory to ultimately enable to bring this care right back to the home.
In addition to the equipment itself and being able to get that to patients, I think one of the other major challenges when people think about doing house calls is simply the physician's time. And even if you have advanced logistics where you're able to have as efficient of a route as possible, there's still certainly a decent amount of time that that physician is spending driving to the different patients. How are you able to deliver that in a cost-effective manner if you're not charging patients an extra charge? How are you able to cover the extra time that the caregiver is spending getting to the patient's house and arriving to those appointments?
Yeah, such a good question. So there's two components to essentially address the good question that you had. The first is about thinking about the model and making it as efficient as possible. So when we thought a lot about our model, what was most important to us was keeping our providers laser focused on that patient. So when we designed our models, what we do is we have two individuals that are part of that care team. We always have an APP, so a nurse practitioner or physician assistant. That is our core clinician on scene that is always taking care of that patient. In addition, we have a dispatch health medical tech that's always on scene to support that patient. What we've also done with our model then is with those two individuals coming to the home is our dispatch health medical tech actually drives the car. That allows our clinician to stay laser focused on that patient. So what they're doing when they leave the home and as they're going to that next visit, they're making sure that they've completely documented what happened while they were on scene. Then we're getting that back over to the PCP. In addition, as they are getting ready to go to the next case, they're going in, they're looking in the local HIE, they may be putting a call into that local provider, and they're making sure that they're also getting ready to go into that next case. So that's how we've thought about being really efficient with our providers that are in the car, APPs that are in the car. The second component, the reimbursement and making that work, that has always been a challenge in healthcare, particularly as you're driving innovation. Right now, as we think about bringing these higher level of care and ER diversion to the home, there isn't a standard code that CMS has to provide a level of reimbursement that's commensurate with the value that's here. They recognize this is an awesome, innovative area, and I know they're trying to work to bring that reimbursement in line. In the meantime, what we've been able to do is to really demonstrate that value, to also work really strategically with our partners. And what we've been able to do is figure out a reimbursement that works from this, from the private payers, from the risk-bearing provider groups, and quite frankly, even sometimes directly from the patients. But that reimbursement is certainly a challenge anytime that you're really kind of at the front of your industry, really driving that innovation. But I think it's a challenge that as more folks move into this space, as we start to see the home just really being an excellent place to provide care, but also drive wonderful clinical outcomes, I think we're going to see as an industry, we're going to continue to rally together, and we're going to continue to find those levels of reimbursement that are commensurate with the value delivered in the home.
I want to explore how COVID impacted the business. I think it was a major impact for almost all healthcare companies, but particularly for Dispatch Health, I imagine it could be a significant growth driver just in the sense that we now have a lot of patients that no longer want to go to a clinic or hospital, and that idea of having care directly in their home becomes even more appealing. Could you talk about how that impacted the business and some of the benefits and potential challenges that came with that?
Yes. So COVID absolutely for us was an accelerant for individuals to try something that maybe they otherwise wouldn't. When you see ER diversion and you start to kind of look at the data, you'll start to see a lot of patterns. When individuals have a moment of need, they've gone somewhere, they've received care, and it's very easy when that moment of need happens again to just execute on the same thing that happened last time. For COVID, we saw kind of two things happen. In our core business, dispatch sees about 60 to 65% of all the individuals that come into dispatch are individuals that are over 65. For those individuals, we did see them pause, try something new, and often dispatch was the solution that they tried when they were having a CHF exacerbation, when they were having a COPD exacerbation. The second thing that we saw emerge, which was some new categories and some new segments, which were kind of really exciting for us as well. The first, and I might have the name a little bit wrong, but I think the healthcare industry is calling it the sandwich generation. But this is typically an older millennial, a Gen Xer, who's actively involved in healthcare decisions in both their nuclear family, but also in their parents. And really, over the last 18 months, as COVID's kind of been in all of our communities, we've just seen families connect more around healthcare topics and decisions. And the sandwich generation, who's become more involved in their parents' care, has now started to consider using some of those options for themselves and for their family. So that's been a segment that's emerged. What we also saw happening during COVID is we saw a lot of disease-specific programs emerge. So we saw a lot of providers from oncology practices, cardiologists, orthopedics that had a lot of really high-risk patients starting to look for new solutions that maybe were a little bit safer for some of the patients that they were managing. So we saw new categories of growth that were there as well. And then the third thing that was pretty interesting is certainly over the last 18 months, we've seen a lot of members really try virtual solutions, whether it's through their local PCPs, maybe their health plan had some telehealth partners that they were using. But what we also saw too is while many of those innovations were wonderful and it was a COVID had many people try those options, there was also a need for a hybrid model. And so we kind of fit that need of being that hybrid model that, you know, maybe you needed that person to get into the home. So we had a lot of folks that tried that option first, and then we were a great option if they needed more support in the home. So for us, COVID, we saw growth in many different dimensions, but when we go back and look at the data, it's really interesting to see some of these subsegments really emerge.
You talked a little bit about the different segments of customers and why it's pretty appealing to some of these different groups. One thing I was curious is just how do these patients typically find dispatch help? Are they typically through a partnership with their provider or insurance hearing about this as an in-home option, or are these people that are wanting to find an in-home option, go on Google? What's the typical path for a patient to get connected with dispatch?
Yeah, what's really interesting is that dispatch is likely in many of our communities, and we may not actually know about it. We have a very different go-to-market strategy than many others in healthcare. We have a very partnership-led focus, and we want to make sure that we're always getting to that right individual. So what you won't see in any dispatch market is a huge billboard that says, dispatch is now here, call us if you're not feeling so great. You're not going to see, our CEO's face kind of on the side of something in one of your communities or going across a bus in town, but rather, what we do is we identify kind of the risk-bearing partners that are in the marketplace of each one of the markets that we go in. And we meet with all of those individuals that are connected to different high acuity patient populations in the community. And we raise targeted awareness, really kind of fitting into the broader ecosystem. So what that means is if we come into a market, we might meet with the different providers that are in that market. We might understand what are the high-cost populations that they are struggling to manage. We might understand what are their capabilities. Do they own urgent cares? Do they have extended office hours? And we thoughtfully think through how we come into any market that we're in and simply just complement everybody that's working in that ecosystem together. So we have a pretty unique way that we come into the market, and we simply want to complement everybody else in the market and make sure that we stay laser focused on getting to that patient that without dispatch there is going to go to the ER.
I'd like to pivot a little bit to learn more about your role and experience, Jennifer. What do you do as the Chief Development Officer, and what are the biggest things that you're focused on?
Yeah, in my role as Chief Development Officer, I work with all of our risk-bearing partners. So that includes all of our health plan partners. It includes all of our integrated delivery networks. It includes all of our large risk-based provider groups that we're really partnering closely with together. In this gamut of things that I spend my time on in any given day, I take our partnerships all the way from the front end, where we're communicating kind of how we can work together, how we can complement and enhance other channels that might be touching high-risk patients, to the actual contracting that goes in place once we're in network with partners in a given market. And then where I really spend a lot of my time, and perhaps maybe the most fun parts of all of my day, are really sitting down with partners and understanding what their needs are, how we can be helpful, what areas they have covered. And then I spend a lot of my time really looking at data. So once we put those strategies in place, how can we actually measure and make sure that we're accountable to what we designed in the front end of how we can help those patients? So if we said to a partner or to provider, hey, we can spend our time complimenting you on the weekends or after hours, then getting in and really looking at that data to make sure that that partnership is really operating as we set out.
Going back a little bit further in your career, I'd like to hear about your transition from McKinsey into an industry role at DaVita. You were in consulting for a long time. How did you know it was the right time and opportunity to try something different?
Yeah. So when I was in consulting, I spent just about 7 or 8 years in management consulting, and really kind of spent the majority of my time always in between large payers, large health systems. And what I spent most of my time really looking for was cost-effective solutions that could deliver high-quality care in the appropriate setting. So I feel like for 7 or 8 years, I did all kinds of permutations of different strategic work, which was really aimed at lowering the cost where appropriate in healthcare. And I loved all of those different strategies that I was putting in place. As I decided to make that transition to industry, I wanted to be able to kind of implement some of those strategies. So I left and went over to DaVita, a large ESRD company that was really focused on value-based care. There were risk-bearing provider groups that had recently become part of the DaVita family. There were value-based care elements around ESRD and CKD patients. And so it was a great area to really step into, surrounded by wonderful other leaders and teams, to really start to think about how do we stand up and implement programs to deliver at value and cost-saving solutions. And then I furthered that step into kind of thinking about standing up those programs by coming to Dispatch. Dispatch has always been very focused on value, very focused on providing cost-based solutions, low-cost solutions with high-quality care to all partners in the market.
As we're a Kellogg podcast, I like to close with the question, what advice do you have for current Kellogg students, and particularly students that are interested in career paths similar to yours?
I think the two piece of it of advice that I would say is, number one, think about what you're really passionate about. I think you will find a career that comes, leadership opportunities that come, as long as you spend your time on areas that you think are personally important and that you personally are very passionate about. So I would think about all those choices and think about what you can wake up every single morning just so excited that you are making a difference in that industry, in that space, in that leadership role. And then my second piece would be, each one of you has come into Kellogg. You are wildly talented. Make the most of every situation that you're in. It's important to think ahead about where you're going, but equally important to be delivering high quality work and making an impact in every situation, every team that you're with.
Thanks, Jennifer. And thanks for so much for being on the show today. It was great to learn about your career, about Dispatch Health and At Home Care. So really appreciate you taking the time, and it was great talking with you.
Thanks, Connor.
Thank you for listening. Support us by subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about healthcare at Kellogg, visit us at the website linked in our podcast description. Have a great day.